in addition to Davar Shem Miskavim, Sikresh Do Nichale, but there is a very fascinating sukkah called Safek Sikresha. Now you can ask me, what isn't that a contradiction in terms? Safek Sikresha. We had the almost Sikresha last week that we looked at a little bit, but what about the Safek Sikresha? What does that even mean? So Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn what that means, and we'll see.
Partially. The head.
Right, very good. In Chulin, it could be a sugya of did you get rove of each of the two simanim in order to make the animal kosher? Yeah, that would be. I actually heard that there was a maisa a few months ago in a slaughterhouse where a cow actually went in a tremendous rampage after it was headless for quite a while. Talk about a headless horseman. You have a headless horse that just running around. So,
it's not automatic.
I'm sorry?
It's not automatic. That's the result of what happened.
Very good. Okay. 90%. So we found ourselves last week in the following place. Hanging, this is, if you talk about a cliffhanger, right? Or do we reference the J.K. Rowling, like the end of the episode is just leaving you in suspense? So we had a chakira from Rav Elchanan, and Rav Elchanan gave one way of understanding how psikresha becomes usher, even if you hold Davar Shein Miskavin, is mutter like Rav Shimon, but Rav Shimon is modus Rav Yehuda that Sikresha is usher. So Rav Elchanan came and gave two possibilities, but we only learned the first one. So I'm assuming everyone's blood pressure has been up the past week, waiting for the second side.
It's very high.
And let's get a running start, though, and start from the beginning of Rav Elchanan, and then Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be taking a look at the great area of the Mishnah Berurah, who discusses the fascinating sugya of Safek Sikresha. Okay, so we're holding over here in the Kovach Shiurim, that's this page over here. It's hard to miss. Okay, and we're going to start from the beginning. But after we finish the first side, we're going to take a dip into the Ritva that's on your printouts. Okay, so if you have all the pages, Keneged Arba Dapin Dibra Torah, Echad Rav Elchanan, Echad Rav Tzayim, Echad Talmud Bavli, and Echad Rav Yehuda. Okay, these are the four pages.
The big four.
The big four. That's a great lineup.
Okay, very good. Notice that
I'm bad at cleanup. And you're the cleanup, Rabbi.
Okay, don't throw me any curveballs. Okay, so now, like this, says the Hedeker of Chanan Wasim, Hashem Yim Kondomai. Daf Vav, he's talking about the Sugya in Ksubis, and Daf Hei, Amud Beis, and Daf Vav, Amud Aleph, of Birushan of Shabbos and the famous Tosis of Mitzchrayi and Zaisa removing the seal from a barrel containing wine, whereby the seal in those days, due to the lack of rubber or other non-absorbent sealants, so you had a psik reishi. You knew for sure that when you twist the thing out, it's going to actually squeeze out a few drops of the wine that's absorbed in those rags. And that is going to be a problem of maschita, which we presume now is a tolda of dash. It's called mefarik, that you squeeze the wine out. Okay, so now, but the tesis that we actually examined, though, was the one in Shabbos Daf Kuf Gimel, which gave many examples of sikresha, the lenichale, and that the machlik is between the aruch. The aruch holds that a sikresha, the lenichale, if you have a sikresha, that you're not interested, that's the way Rashi seems to say it, you don't care that in your friend's field you've done some landscaping. What you care about is that you needed some grass for whatever reason. So basically the shear of removing certain herbs, certain grasses, are, if you need it for yourself, it's a shear. If you need it for your animal to graze, it's kind of like PIAGD. And the Gemara and the Mishnah and the Gemara are discussing what happens when you pull out something for the animal to eat, but really you're masaking the karaka right away by pulling out a minimal amount. So how do you ever need the bigger shear? Because aren't you, by removing the grass from the ground, aren't you being masaking the ground enough that the minimal shear is going to be mechayev you for chol Shabbos? So why do we even talk about it? It's totally academic. Why are we talking about if you did it for a cow or for a goat, so it's a shear that's going to be appropriate for the cow or the goat? So the Gemara has one teretz. Very simple. You're in the wild. You're in the agam. You're in the meadow. So no one's looking at what you pulled out in terms of the karka. It stays the same. No one cares. But if you pull out enough for the gedi to eat, then you're going to be chayev because you were kotzer enough for the gedi to eat. But then the Gemara says, no, I have another case where it could be possible, even when you pull it out of a cultivated field, and that is when you pull it from your neighbor's field. Okay? And the Gemara seems to indicate that then it's going to be all right. Then it's going to be all right. And from here, the Aruch learns, the Aruch understands that when you don't care that the tikkun of the karka or any other tikkun is being done, even though for sure it's going to happen, that's called psik resha, and it, the loy nichale, and it's mutter. And Tosfos disagrees, and the basic premise of Tosfos is that the Gemara is not saying that it's mutter. The Gemara is saying that it's not chayav. Look carefully at the Mishnah. And not only that, but other times we see iterations of psik resha, the loy nichale, in the Gemara, there's always some kind of other ingredient, claims Tosfos. Either, let's say, the muscle, mapis mursa, a person pops a blister, a pimple that's causing him pain, so it's mutter, even though he's for sure going to create an opening, and that's a problem of bone on Shabbos, he's creating an opening in that pimple, so even though he knows for sure it's going to happen, but it's mutter. So the Aruch would say, oh, you see, that because of the fact that you don't care about the opening that's staying long term, you just want to relieve the pressure, so it's mutter. So you see, psik resha, the loy nichale is mutter. And Tosfos says, but that's not true, because if you look at the Gemara says only because of the fact that the person has tsar de gufa, he has tsar from the pressure that he has in the pimple, that's why it pushes it over the edge from asa derabanan to mutter, like a chila, to pop that pimple. But if it was, all things being equal, psik resha, the loy nichale wouldn't be a standalone heter. That's a basic summary of some of what Tosfos discusses, and he has other rice as well from Mezalfin Yayin, and whoever was Zeichet to learn Tosfos, so was Zeichet. Okay, now let's see how Rabbi Chanan begins to dissect what is really changing. A step back. What's really changing when Dabar Sheinu Miskaven, which is Mutter according to Rabbi Shimon, and that's how the majority of Poskim pass them, that's how we assume, that Dabar Sheinu Miskaven is Mutter, what happens when it gets pushed over the edge into psik resha, and that for sure the davar that you're not being miskaven for is actually going to happen. So what changes in the dynamic of the isser and the heter? So I know it's going to happen, so what? So now what? Why does that make it, if it's not what I had in mind, then Rav Shimon says you go after kavana, and even many Rishayim would say that even Rabbi Yehuda goes after kavana, meaning that if you had kavana, you'd be chayav misa. Even Rabbi Yehuda says davar sheinu miskaven is usser, he would agree that it knocks it down, because of Lach Lachsheves or other things, from the Reis of Rabbanim. So everyone agrees that the lack of Kavana is very key over here. So the question is, what happens then that it's compromised? That even though I don't have Kavana for this result, but it's for sure going to happen, so that makes it usher, what exactly is changing? So Rabbi Chanan has an Aleph. It's actually the fifth line. He has a little nice Aleph over there, or a big one. He says, there are two ways to explain what happens for a psik resha, why Rav Shimon is murdered that it's asr. So he gives an example. Kagoyim b'nazir. You have a nazir who's not allowed not only to cut his hair, but he may not even yank out his hair. So b'nazir, choyfeif, he may wash his hair and, you know, lather, rinse, repeat. He could do that. Aval, loy soirek, he's not allowed to comb his hair. The sirika, he psik resha. Sirika is a psik resha, and we discussed this last time also, the Gabi, is each stroke of psik resha or not, that shaila. Okay. The Yesh Loimar, that it's possible, Kivon, the Shiodea, the Besrikosoi, Yitloish, Saris, since he knows that when he combs through his hair, he's going to remove hair, Mikri, Mechavin, Litlisha. So he's considered someone who is Mechavin to pull out hair. Aval, Hecha, Deloi, Nichale, but if it's not nichale, where he really does want things to stay the same, he's not interested in this byproduct, loy nichale, al karchach eina mechavin. Meaning, how is psik resha working? That since a person has an awareness that the byproduct, let's look at this example. The nazir is always dreaming that he should, you know, I don't know, what does he do? He has a ponytail, right? He's always dreaming it just shouldn't be, like, so, such a massive burden on him. So, he's not allowed to do anything about it. So, once in a while, he takes a shower, he combs his hair, it's a big chore. So, he's not intending for the hair to come out. But at the end of the day, if he knows that it is going to come out through the combing, it's going to be an added benefit. I didn't do it. I really, honestly, you know, my wife just told me it's been 5 weeks. I need to take a shower. Good. Okay, so now I'm taking a shower. But now, does that mean that I have an issue with I'm doing the shower because of now I'm going to comb my hair? No. But at the end of the day, it's a side benefit. It's a side benefit. But if I'm totally not interested, so the Arab says, so then you can't say that I'm mechaven for it. Even this Rabbi Chanan itself, I think people have different iterations of what he means. I think it's very clear what he's trying to say is, it's not that. The fact that I know it's going to happen, I know it's going to happen, that the hair is going to come out, that makes me into a mechaven. This I've heard in numerous iterations in the yeshiva world. I don't think Rabbi Chanan is saying that. Rabbi Chanan is saying something a little different. He's saying,
Adarabah. I think he's saying Adarabah.
He's saying
that the fact that he has no intention makes it a mechaven.
Right.
Right, no, but he's talking about psik resha. If it's a psik resha, right, it's a psik resha, that it's for sure, you comb your hair, and for sure, hair is going to be removed. So Rabbi Chanan's saying, the fact that I know for sure it's going to happen is a tipping point, which tells me that now this can't be considered a regular Davar Sheinu Miskaven, because I gain from the fact that the hair comes out. So even though it's not really my primary intention, but it's not something that
I'm not going to complain.
Right, I'm not complaining. But if I really don't want it to be that way, or I couldn't care less, so then it's a davar she'en meskaven, psik resha, and also psik resha zol nichal. Psik resha zol nichal, according to the aruch, puts it back into davar she'en meskaven. The fact that I know for sure it's going to happen doesn't make it usher, according to the aruch. But the fact that I have some benefit from that, that does make it usher.
And what's the benefit? There's less hair now.
Yeah. Right. Even though it's not a normal thing. Normally, people don't want to take a haircut.
The benefit is that I have less hair on my head.
Yes. Oh. So now, here's the thing.
It doesn't break his naziris, does it? No.
Oh, that is, well, that he, no, he has the tumah.
Only tumah breaks. Not.
Let's look. So this is Rabbi Chanan. This is the first sign of Rabbi Chanan. So I want to take a break for station identification. Please look at your first page of the printout over here. I want to look at how is that like antiquated already?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm dating myself.
I appreciate the reference.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. I don't know. I posted this thing on my. We have a brother-in-law chat, so it's not like it's a private little thing. So you could let your hair down a little bit. No pun intended. And you know it's hard for the Willis actually. So. There was a sitcom back in the day that I don't even remember what it was about, but I remember the name. So, like, I posted a picture like with a bunch of people with, like, big curly hair and mustaches, and the caption was, "Welcome back, Otter."
Welcome back,
right?
Otter.
Yeah. Because, you know, the second month of Otter. So, yes, yeah, so there seems to be a source in Paiskim that Mishanichas Adam Rabbi Misimcha, even on Purim, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about how people used to jump on Purim. So, Lav Dafka, that's only the strictures of what we think is normative halacha, that it has to be drink this much wine, have a mishteh, give mishach manas, but the general the spirit of simcha seems to also include jumping around, maybe even includes a good meme or two. Fine. So now,
according to the modern day poskim.
So now, let's look at this ritva, and I want some crowd participation here. I'm not just looking for laughs. I want to have a kasha. No, we're in the middle of Rabbi Chanan, but I want to see how this ritva is going to impact on Rabbi Chanan. Okay, the ritva on the printout page. This one, okay, is the first source. Chidusha ritva Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Gimel, the same exact daf that the Tosfos is on that we learned. See, he has the following thing. This is the ritva's question. Umiu Tamiya Mil Satuva. To me, it's a wonder. Kol heicha the psik reisha v'lo yomis. Anytime that you have the situation of psik reisha where you know for sure the byproduct of the malacha is going to actually occur. Me'ezet tam yatir Reb Shimon mishum t'loy nichalei. If the Aruch's premise is really true, what's the reason? Why could it be that Reb Shimon would be matir, even though he's moida that regular psik reisha is usher, but if it's loy nichalei, he's going to be matir. Now let's just examine how he says it now. The time of the Talmuda, the reason of the Gemara, the Moida Reb Shimon, the Psik Resha of Loyamas, the Reb Shimon is Moida. When it's a Psik Resha, and he knows for sure that the byproduct of his action is going to be occur for sure. What's the reason why, says the Ritva, Hainu Mishum, the Kivin Delay Sagi. Since it's impossible to conceive of a situation, the Delay is Abin Malacha, it's for sure going to happen when you do this action that a malacha is going to result. Harehu ki ilu niskaven umeleches machsheves hu. Ve'im kein mali inichale iloi nichale. This ritva, I think. Whoa. This ritva, I think, is a little more analogous to what you know, what was going around in the Shabbos Chabura 1997. I think it was this ritva. This ritva says something a little bit different than Rabbi Chanan. He's at loggerheads, as Rabbi David would say, with Rabbi Chanan. Why? Because Rabbi Chanan is adding a certain component. Rabbi Chanan says that the way I understand, and maybe this is exactly machlokes. What did the Ritva just say? I don't understand what the Aruch says. If the whole idea of Sikresha is that now I know that this result's going to happen, I know the hair's going to come out, so you can't call me Ena Mechavin, because the fact that it's built into the action of what I'm doing, that's called Mechavin. That's called Mechavin. So Ritva says, so then we cannot go and differentiate about whether I'm actually very interested in this byproduct happening, I'm not interested, it's part and parcel. And so the Ritva says, I'm called Mechavin.
Even if it's something that I specifically do not want.
Correct. Correct. The knowledge itself. Right. And therefore the Ritva comes and he says, I don't understand what the Aruch is saying. Who cares what I want? At the end of the day, this is part of my Kavana Al-Karchi. Why? Because of the fact that I know what's going to happen. But if you look at Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Chanan is dodging that. Rabbi Chanan says, what does he add? Rabbi Chanan says a little bit different, meaning he's going down the same lane as the Ritva, but he gets off at the exit where he says, the Yeshlema Kivin Sheyadea de Bisrikosa Yitler Sarais Mikri Mechavein Litlisha. Why? Because of the fact that you are interested somehow. And I'm really putting words in his mouth. But look at the flip side. In other words, the only way the Aruch could dodge the kasha of the Ritva is by saying Kavana, and this is what we said last week, Kavana is not merely awareness. Kavana has to incorporate an element of interest. If there is no interest, that's not called Kavana. Give me all the statistics that you want. It's not called Kavana. So that comes, and the Aruch didn't make this up. He has several Gemaras that seem to support this idea. And that's, okay, the Tesis goes back and forth with him. The point is, the Aruch is trying to give a Svara to the Gemaras that he sees. He sees this Gemara in Daftut Gimel Amidav in Shabbos. He sees this Mitzvah in the Sinai. He says, you know what the halacha is? The halacha is that as long as I don't care, that's not called a Psik Resha, because the lack of any interest on my part is going to compromise any chance that it's called Kavana. That's how the Ritva... I'm sorry, that's how Rabbi Chanan... I'm sorry, one second.
Yes, Rabbi Chanan.
That's how Rabbi Chanan explains, right? And again, I'm reading between the lines, but you see that it's screaming for Rabbi Chanan when I know that it's going to happen, it's called Mechavin. But when I don't care at all, so that doesn't equal Kavana. And the exact problem is what? That can't make sense. As long as I know for sure it's going to happen, that's exactly what tipped. Till now, I was in the Mechavim because it's only 90% or 9% that it's going to happen, so I'm not Mechavim. But as soon as I know for sure, who are you fooling? You're Mechavim for it. You can't say that when I cut the chicken's head off, so it happens to be an interesting byproduct that what happens is it dies. You can't call it that. So here, basically, I don't usually try to set things up like this, but you have Machlokes between the Ritva and Rabbi Chanan. But that's not really true. You have Machlokes between the Ritva and the Aruch. All Rabbi Chanan is saying, one second, is to explain how Davar She'ein Miskavim works, how Psik Reisha works, and where the Aruch got his formulation. His formulation comes from the fact that there's some element of a Ratzon component within the Kavana that's necessary. And the Ritva says, no, even without Ratzon, the idea is enough to be called Kavana.
I think according to the Ritva, it's an imposed Kavana.
100%. 100%. Beautifully.
I have no Kavana.
Beautiful. 100%. I love the way you said it. I love the way you said it.
It's really, you really have Kavana because someplace in your subconscious, you want it to happen.
Right. So you're adding an extra nature over here, Rabbi. You're saying that it could be that the lumdus is that we're giving him the din of a Mechavan whether he likes it or not. Right. And so how does the Aruch get around that? He says that no, the only time I did that is when the son Ratzon involved. Then I force him. right? But if not, they're not.
But in the case of any Yorei Shamayim, there's no such thing as a Davashenos Kabbat. He's always going to be thinking before he does
something. No.
There's always going to be an
okay,
aspect
one
to
second,
it.
One second. So this is let's go back. The Shema Zaman, which we saw quoted in the notes in the Orcha Shavis and Perek Lamed, where he discusses these fundamentals, so he brings up Shema Zaman that says a theme that all the Pais can say, yeah, that when it comes to a halachic stricture that you're concerned with, yeah, let me read. Page Reish Nun Beis. It says over here, "B'mikresh b'yemot hachol nichal adam b'malacha v'rak machmas itzur Shabbos lesley lo nichale." The fact that I don't want this is not because I mamish don't care. It's because I don't want to istabech in Shabbat. You know, enough. I don't want it. So because of that, I don't have kavanah for it. If the Yirei Shamayim should be is the only reason I don't want it, you have to look at it in a neutral situation, in a complete vacuum of any halakhic considerations.
Take religion out of it. Which is
why
the pain that's caused in Mafis Mursa is an objective
exactly
measurement.
Oh, exactly.
It's a loss of chicken. You can't eat it anymore.
Okay, so now that is part one. So this has clarified a little bit what Rabbi Chanan is saying. It's clarified for us what the Ritva says. And really, there are really two sides of the same coin. Meaning we're about to look at Beis and Rabbi Chanan. That's a different coin. Okay? So he's a different way of formulating how Psik Resha works in the first place. How it acts in the first place. But according to, let's just say, what's going to happen now, I just want to give you a preview so we understand how the Lumnus is being set up. Right now what we did is I broke ranks from Rav Chanan. I showed how the Ritva seems to be masking to the assumption of Rav Chanan that the fact that Psik Reisha is going to be usher according to Rav Shimon is because, whereas Rav Shimon says you need Kavanah in order for it to be usher, but Yediya equals Kavanah. That's what the Ritva says. And the Rav Chanan says, explaining the Aruch, that no, Yediya is not enough. You need to deal with a little smidgen of interest in it. If it's complete apathy, so the idea is not going to be enough to cause segregation. This is how Rabbi Chanan explains in Eis Aleph, those few lines, what the Shitas Ha'aruch is. So basically, I'm setting it up now that Rabbi Chanan in Eis Aleph is explaining the Aruch, and Rabbi Ritva is explaining what Taisus and other Rishonim would say. Mm-hmm. He's explaining how you can't say once I know for sure it's gonna happen. That's called Psik Reisha, and it's usher no matter what, whether I care or not.
This shit is just al pi svara. Is there a gemara for it? Like why?
Yeah. So last week we went through a whole slew of gemaras in the Tosfos on Daf Kuf Gimel, and we went back and forth about the different mashmos in each gemara and how Tosfos walks between the drops of the rise of the Aruch and Adrabah. Let's say the classic case of Mavis Mursa, which it seems to be the biggest riot for the Aruch that I'm allowed to pop the pimple. And so even though it's Baina, because I don't care about the little mouth that I'm making for the pimple, but Taisa says Gevalt, but the Gemara says Sara de Gufa. So that's a riot that we need some other sniff lahatir in order to make it mutter. So that's an example. What exactly the Aruch does, that's another question. But the point is, it seems exactly like the Aruch. But then Taisa says, well, why does the Gemara have to introduce the Tzara de Gufa? V'chohena down, the Gemara talks about other cases.
But the assumption is that
they're arguing about the right. So ultimately, like our Gemara's mashma, that the issue is what's called Kavana, right? And Shimon has to be moditor of Yehuda because he would agree that he's not going back on Davashen Miskavi. But Rav Shimon would have to agree that in the case of Psik Reisha, this is called Davashen Miskavi. So I have no place to argue with Rav Yehuda once it reverts to be a Davashen Miskavi.
That works from Lech
Shabbos. Okay, right. And that obviously, it's not just its own formulation. It's a part of Lech Shabbos. Although, as we pointed out many times, Rav Kivi Eger said this again and again and again, and we haven't gotten there yet, but the idea is that the idea of Davashen Miskavi and Psik Reisha are both very much present outside of Shabbos, and just Psik Reisha is even, Davashen Miskavi is even more of a kula by Shabbos, because you have first of all the Lech Nach Shabbos component, and then you have the overall Kavana component that we saw analyzed at length by the Igle Tal, and we saw analyzed But Rabbi Choran, it has to be kederach, and it has to be with regular kavana, and otherwise it's not considered lach machshavas, as we saw 2 weeks ago. Okay, so now let's just look at the second side of Rabbi Choran Wasserman, and this we're going to get a new. This is a classic yeshiva shlomdish formulation, the Rabbi Chanan, and I think Rabbi Shimon, his Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Shkaf, who actually was a Ram in Yeshiva University, if I'm not mistaken, for at least a year, back in the 30s. No? No one knows this? Okay.
We didn't listen to that Rabbi Roy Kefisher.
Oh, even with that,
actually. Shimon Shkaf made to America. I already
did. Know,
yeah, everyone needs to raise money. Yeah, he did. That was, there was no crowdfunding in those days.
You taught him what?
Yes, for a year, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone has the shiur of Shimon Yudah Kayin in the days of the YU, but
it's not a YU Torah.
Very good. Okay, so now let's look. Let's look at our space. And now, so as soon as we read this next part, we're going to see how what we've said is maybe a little bit different. Says Rebbe Chanan, Ois Beis, it is the seventh line, or something like that. Kivan. He's giving another analysis of what happens when the Nazir is combing his hair and he knows that the hair is going to be pulled out. Kiva the Srika heap sik resha litlisha. Since when you do the repeated act of combing your hair, as we saw last week, in the Rivash, so it's called a sik resha, even though each individual stroke might not necessarily be, but the whole thing is one unit. It's a sik resha litlisha. Nimtza comes out, says Rebbe Chanan, litlisha bichlal Srika. Okay, to the outside people, this is semantics. To the London over here, this is exactly the meat and potatoes of how to figure out the swara behind these two tzadim of the Aruch and the Taisus. What's happening over here? Flisha is bichlal sarika. And as part and parcel of combing your hair, the action is defined. Because of the psikoresha, the action is defined as flisha. Visagi, and then it's enough. All I have to have in mind, really, my kavana could be unbudged. I have in mind that I want to comb my hair. In other words, it's not a specific kavana svara over here. The whole idea of sikreisha de lanichale is redefining the action that I'm doing. And once I redefine the action that I'm doing, so now I don't have to be going into the person's mind to see the level of kavana that he has or he doesn't have. It becomes the same thing, right? It becomes the same thing. So a person who's a muser that the Chazal say that you could kill him, and all kinds of cases like this, you became something. You became Miriam Yadav B'Teres Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't have to like, oh, I'm the kavala myself. I deserve it. You did something, and automatically. So you're going into a certain zone, and that's it. It doesn't make a difference what you had in mind. The action, unbeknownst to you maybe, the action that you... I shouldn't say unbeknownst to you. But the action, whether you like it or not, is linked and connected and defined. It's defined as a malacha. So he says, "Afshein mechavim tlisha, that tlisha nichleles basrika v'imkei, afilu l'nichale b'tlisha." So now comes the Rav Chanan and says the next thing. So now... If it's really true, this lumdus, that really combing one's hair equals plisha, full stop. Yeah? That's it. It's the same thing. Do we now have room? Do we now have wiggle room to analyze what's motivating me? Is it nichale or not nichale?
Doesn't matter.
I want to comb my hair. Combing my hair is an isra of plisha. End of story. So now I don't go back and start to analyze, well, what was, how much do I have to gain? Is it Michale? Do I care? Do I not care? No, the action is being defined as a malacha. I have in mind to have that action. Equals I have in mind to do the malacha. Then you can't say, well, what about the malacha aspect of this action? What is it Michale or not? It's all one and the same. That's Rabbi Chanan's coming from a whole different place and saying that the action is being redefined. Since that's Rabbi Chanan, let's just see. He's older than us. Let's let him talk a little bit. Vim Kang. You don't want that tlisha. Ain the fightra mishum ain miskaving. Why? No miskaving the srika utlisha v'gal srika. You bal karchach. You have kavana for that. Why? Because not because your kavana is changing in any way, but because the action is that. Even the efshel azub loizu. It's impossible to comb your hair without being over on the iser of tlisha. V'hainu the ain tzarech kavana leguf ha'malacha. So and it's even more than that. So now that that's the case. So if you look at you and we say, if you have kavana for the melacha component, no. And it's not a kavana look of a melacha. El asagi, it's enough. And mashem eskaibin lehamase. To the act of coming, of what's here, sham melacha nechleles ba behech reyach. So now we have redefined what coming ones here is, that it is linked and defined by the fees out of a parsha. So according to that formulation, it's obvious to Lashita Zeis, according to this Shita, Asr midaraisa b'chalo yisurin, it's Asr midaraisa when it comes to a Nazir. Levad mishabis, then chilek bein nichale, the lo nichale, right, except for Shabbos, because we already have it, it's knocked down with the lack of Kavanah.
Wait,
okay. Second. What, Usher midoraisa with what? No, like we said before, Nazir, who doesn't have the issue of Lech, it's a higher level of Issa than Shabbos, where automatically Lech Shabbos knocks it down.
But hasn't he rendered the whole concept of secretion now completely meaningless and empty? Why does it even exist anymore? Like, if it's the same thing, it's the same Mesa, what does the concept mean anymore of secretion?
It's 1 second.
Because you don't care. We don't care about the result.
It's one action.
It's one action. That's right.
I just want to see just one more component. I'm going to skip a little bit because I feel like we're going to get stuck. I just want to read the last few lines. I want to read the last few lines of Rabbi Chanan. Okay. See where it says Muchach? It's four lines from the bottom.
So you're saying I'm going to call my hair. I hear. I'm going to pull something
out. Let me just look at the last four lines where he just adds a point over here. Muchach, the gamla chokem al arach. Even according to those who are chilek on the arach and say secretion of the lenichale is not mutter like the arach says lechachila, but still shari midaraisa b'loy nichale. Okay, even if you disagree, it still makes it mutter midaraisa. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon says that a psik reisha is usher, even the raisa. He agrees.
Right.
Let's say. Okay, that's also a question. That seems to be not. Okay, El the Sviel Lady Mirabonon Mia Asa. But you hold that it's still Asa Midrabonon. So it says Rabbi Chanan Vakasha, Heichar Matzu, how did Tosis figure out it's a Dirabonon Bazen? Meaning, Dirabonon came and said, well, if it's a Psik Resha, Delay Michale, so now it's an Asa Midrabonon. Did Rabbonon ever like talk about this? So he says, yeah. Ve'efsher Dirayasami, Mimapis Mursa Shavio Batosis. The same defense that Tosis gave that Mapis Mursa is only because of Tzad Gufa, that it becomes mutter to defend themselves from the raya of the aruch that situation of nichli is mutter. So says Rabbi Chanan, that itself is a raya that there's at least a mitigation of the isser because Tzad Gufa is going to be enough to push it from being aser to being mutter. You don't have that by Daraisa. Tzad Gufa makes Shabbos mutter. So it comes out that it's clear from Tosfos that even without Tzad Gufa, even though the psik reisha, still, Rabbi Shimon is only under Rabbanan. And therefore, as soon as you have Tzad Gufa, it's going to be Matar at Lagami. Okay.
So he says that the Kavanah here is, combines both elements, and what does it make a difference? How does this explanation make sense? If he's saying that those two elements, if it's Tzad, they are the same thing. So if you have Kavanah for one part, you have Kavanah for the other part automatically.
Right.
So what does it make a difference if one is Tzad? How does it make sense?
I think you're asking Rabbi Chanan's Kasha that you asked before that I didn't get into, but you asked the Kasha.
And also the other thing is also that's the definition of melchashim, that's chalgufa. That's getting into, he's already getting into
that. So that's the second thesis that we saw last week on the Chukos Gimel that exactly says
he's
this.
He's basically turning it into that.
Exactly, 100%. That's what thesis does, really. It turns it into melchashim, chalgufa, and that we spoke about that last week at the end. Okay, so now, but I just want to take a step back and see, so what is Rabbi Chanan really saying over here? Rabbi Chanan makes it... this is yours, right? I just want to just take a step back. The way the Rabbi Chanan presents it is that according to the Aruch, you have to say that we're taking situation takes the lack of kavana and makes it into kavana. Okay, the person is actually mechaven. He's mechaven, and that's why says Rabbi Chanan he's able to make the jump and say, but as soon as it's Nichale, as soon as it's Nichale, so then I am Mechavim. But if it's not Nichale, who am I kidding? I'm not really Mechavim. That's how the Aruch is saying. That's why it's Mutter. Right. And the Ritva, okay, the way we show the Ritva seems to say exactly the same words as Rabbi Chanan. And that's why he's bothered by what? How that jump even happened in the first place. But Rav Chanan is saying that the only way to make the jump, in other words, in terms of the two stadim he gives, the only way to make the jump is that you need to have some kind of kavana. And what happens is that if I'm not mechavein, I'm butter because it's mutter because I don't really care, and therefore I don't want it. But as soon as it's for sure going to happen, it becomes us or why.
Whether because, you care or not.
Well, according to Tysfus, it's whether you care or not. The fact that you know itself is that it is going to happen creates kavana. That's who says that, the Ritva. Right. Ritva is taking Tysfus' side. And that's what it was. If we just look at his kasha, and he says, "Hainu mishum." The second line of the Ritva, the key of the lasagadil is avin melacha. Since it's not possible for the melacha not to occur, hareihu keilu niskaven. It's keilu he's niskaven umelechas machshavesi. It gets right back into melachas machshaves because he is mechaven. So notice he puts melachas machshaves there, which is a Shabbos thing.
Isn't
okay,
that the same thing as Rebbe Chanan's Aleph.
Exactly, that's my point. That the Ritva assumes that Rabbi Chanan's Aleph is true. That really, I'm taking someone who's officially not Mechavan, adding the fact that you know for sure it, the hair is going to come out, or whatever the byproduct is, and making him into a Mechavan. And the question is, the Ritva says, if that's the case, the Aruch can't say what he's saying. Who cares whether I want it to happen? I know what's going to happen. The Kavan alone equals, the Yediyah alone equals Kavan. So how do we explain Rabbi Chanan in light of the, that he's actually paving the way for the Aruch? How is he paving the way for the Aruch? He's saying the same thing as Ritva. The answer is that Rabbi Chanan assumes that the Aruch needs also some kind of Ratzon, otherwise it's not called Kavana. That's all within the first side of Rabbi Chanan. He didn't set it up like this. I'm just pointing out that Ritva agrees to Rabbi Chanan's first side, and nevertheless, he takes the Tesis side. But at least Rabbi Chanan has some wiggle room in this iteration in order to explain the Aruch side. So even though the Ritva is angry about it, what do you mean? This is not called that I'm not Mechav, and I know what's going to happen. That's called Kavana. And Rabbi Chanan says, yeah, but there's also some kind of Ratzon that you need. Whereas in the second iteration that Rabbi Chanan says, which is more Mechadish, so then there's no way to move. This is what he claims. This is how Tosis holds. Right? In other words, if what happens is a Psik Resha, it's even, I just want to point out, it's, maybe it's not really so. I was thinking that the terminology Psik Resha of Layomos, that actually becomes the name of a svara. Sometimes we have Kal v'chomer, the svara is actually being expressed by the words. Someone showed me fascinating, there's a few Maram shifts in Shas, that he names svaras after cities. And you have to be in the know. In other words, he has, you can't, and don't tell me Nuremberger, like, don't tell me the Nuremberg svara, because I'll tell you like this. And Zayid wrote a whole mechkar about the Maram Shif's different. It's not the only place. He has different cities that he mentions, and you have to, like when I say the word Mimonavshach, right? So if you know Gemara, so you know what I mean when I say Mimonavshach. But otherwise, what is Mimonavshach? Like, you know, put into Google Translate, it's not going to come out, right? So we know it's a code for a Svara. Even though Kal v'chomer is not so much of a code, at least it gives me the basic Rashi Prakim. So he's got the Nuremberg Svara, and then if you don't know what that is, so then, okay, you have no idea what he's talking about. Okay? Mm-hmm. Or like, Liflug Velisni Bedida, right? Oh my gosh. What's Liflug Velisni Bedida? So if you learned, the 12 times in Shas where it says, so then Okay. So over here also, it's like, Psik Resha is a code word for a Svara. What's it say? Psik Resha of Layamas. You're going to cut the head of the chicken and it's not going to die, and therefore what? So that's really exactly Machlaikas over here. What and therefore what? Psik Resha of Layamas means that Psik Resha equals Yamas. That's Rabbi Chanan's second iteration. Psik Resha is Yamas, right? Psik Resha, no, it is Yamas. So whenever I cut the head off, that means that I'm killing it. End of story. And according to the first side that we're saying here, Psik Resha of Yamas means Psik Resha. And it's not going to die? Of course you know it's going to die, right? So of course it's going to die, and that's what it means. Or, of course, you know it's going to die, and that itself gives you kavana. So I'm saying, even within the code word for this svara, that would be the two stadim. But the second side of Rabbi Chanan is that we're redefining the action. And the action is equivalent. So basically, if we're doing an action like cutting the chicken's head off, or combing our hair, or any other situations mentioned in the Gemara, so what comes out is that we really have in mind to do a malach of Shabbos, and it doesn't really make a difference how much interest I have, how much non-interest I have. I'm doing malach on Shabbos. End of story. This second svar of Rav Chanan, I think, is first of all a little more difficult to grasp, but also it leaves a lot of room for questions open. So, Nicha, I that's a bad word. I define this action as a malacha. Good. So then the person's aware of that. He's not only he learned the Rav Chanan. Like, how are you making this guy? How are you telling him that it's Asar on Shabbos? So the Maisa, as Rav Chanan says at the end, everyone agrees that even if the situation is Loi Michalei, right? Everyone agrees it's not Asar Deraisa. Even the Taisas would agree it's not Asar Deraisa. So you don't have a situation where you're going to kill the guy for doing a situation Loi Michalei, because otherwise that would open up questions. Of what he has to know this he has to know that when he's combing his hair, it's a malacha. Okay, but Al-Kalpan, this is how Rav Chanan makes the spread. There are two different shitas, and we point out that within the Ritva himself, we see that there's room to argue with the Aruch, even in iteration A, that you're not Mechavin. What does it mean to have Kavana?
Bringing the Kodesh of Misa into it is a fascinating thing, because what's the whole point of Hasra, right?
Okay, right. It doesn't even get anywhere near Misa. I'm saying it doesn't get anywhere.
But the whole point of Hasra,
yeah,
is to establish what your Kavana is.
Right.
Which means...
No. Hasra is more of an Indian of, do I know the Isser? Do I know what Shabbos? Do I realize the Nisra Skila? Do I, the Gemara says, even after you matter Asana Lemisa, you have to say, oh, Aldas Kenani Isa, I'm happy to do it. I'm just waiting for those, for those rocks. But, I'm a rock fan, you know.
The point is that your words there,
yeah,
for Achita, can change what your Kavana is. So therefore, Rabbi Sikrich, if you say, I'm not what's happening to that,
okay, I hear, I got you. Okay, it could be that some iteration of this that could be Negeta, Chiyuv Misa, but the Pashtus, we're not talking about the Rises. Pashtus. Okay. So far, wow. They have, there's a joke about like people who publish Svarim and they just want it to be nice and thick. The paper gets very thick, the font gets big, the edge around the print gets very big. So like, we've done a lot today. We've learned this Rav Chanan, but in the Sefer, it's like this big. Okay. So, so now we see these two stadim given by Rav Chanan, and I want to, with the permission of the Moir Rabbis, I proceed to a perhaps related, we're going to have to see, issue that is relevant to Psik Resha. And this is the inyan of Suffolk Psik Resha. Now it would seem that Suffolk Psik Resha is a complete contradiction in terms. How could you even have a Suffolk Psik Resha? But mitbarer that you really could have a Suffolk Psik Resha. Let's look here in the Shulchan Aruch that's on the Bar Ilan printout sheet over here. Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Milchus Shabbos, Simen Shin Tes Zayin. Okay, that's the. See what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. So if Gimel. So it's talking about Melechus Tzad, which is a fascinating topic in itself. Es Hashem, one of the 39, we're going to be analyzing Melechus Tzad whenever it is. Okay. What does it say in Dani Mamin? The Eish Shiyala Ratzon. Dani Mamin, it's going to say that the Eish Shiyala is Al Zichel Alam Lev. So whenever he's Al Ratzon of the Rabbanei Tzurba to put in Melechus Tzad, we're going to get to Tzad. But now we're just looking at Tzad from the perspective of Kolali HaMelechus. Let's see what it says over here in Shulchan Aruch. Kol shebimino nitzad. Anything that is a breed, a type of animal that is actually something that is huntable, is hunted. Chayav alav. If you trap it, you're chayav for trapping the animal. Ein bimino nitzad. But if it's a type of animal that people don't want, so then pater aval aser. So if you have a reason for trapping and you've trapped it, so on one hand it's aser, but it's only the rabbanim pashas and it's pater.
Mice, rats, those
questions. Okay, let's see. Hilchos, zvuvim, flies. Afal pi she'ein b'mino nitzot. People are not trapping flies because they want flies. Usur l'tzudan is still usur to trap them. Haga. It's pater avol usur. If it would be usur, then the person would be chaya for doing that. Right. Okay. V'lochein. Yeshli Zayar shall lisgar teva ktana. Do not close a little box or listam kalim or to cover vessels shezavuvim by b'shabbos. Let's say you know there are flies over here and you close it. They have a psik resha sheyitzu b'sham. So it's a psik resha that they will be that will be trapped in there. Okay? Bala Trumas, Mordechai, Sefer Chira. What?
It's a psik resha, that's a...
No, if you're closing the book...
Oh, you mean you're closing it because you want to close it.
Yeah, yeah. The Yesh Mekilin B'makam She'im Yipasach HaKli Litla Misham Yivetu. So basically, this is a fascinating sub. I'm going to go into this for half a second because it's very, it's one of these like, what do you call it? Like these circular logic type of things. There's a machloikas apparently in the Paiskin. The way that that sud becomes usher is I trapped it in a way that in one lunge I could grab it, what it is. Like I trap an animal that I want in an area where I just have to go like this and not be able to take it. It doesn't have to be totally tied up. But if I have to go after it more than once to get it, that's not called sud with the rice in most cases. Okay? So now, here's the conundrum over here. I'm shutting the fly in the box, right? Okay, I shut it in the box. But I can't go in there and grab it now. As soon as I open it, it's going to fly away. So is it, if the place that, where I trapped it makes it, because it flies around, it makes it that I can't even take advantage of the fact that it's in there now, because as soon as I open it to go take the fly, it will fly out. It's not like a mouse and say, I open the thing up, I can put my hand in and get it. As soon as I put my hand into the box, I can't get the fly. Right? So, is that mitigate the tzad or not? Okay, this is just within the malacha of tzad. So now, let's take the this din in Shulchan Aruch and look at the Mishnah Brura that brings a fascinating, what is known in the yeshivas as and those lumped in Yonah Shabbos as a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Taz. let's see about this. The yes, okay.
Maybe what the flood is it maybe like after it's cooking, this is not something that you're going to be around. You don't want it to annoy you, so if you
step
in the box, you're doing
good.
You didn't get up, go back after
casting. You still
do it. Ah,
okay, so excellent. So there are two issues over here. One of them is A, the meat on Yitzhak, which makes it more cow. People don't want flies. But you're pointing out that it seems to be a type of dovers of Melacha Shein Tzrich Lagu for that. I'm trapping this animal, not because I want the animal, because I don't want it to bother me. Right? Okay. Okay, so Bezat Hashem, when we learn Tzad, we're going to be able to go more into that. But now what we want to squeeze out over here is how this impacts on Psik Resha and what's called Suffolk Psik Resha. Okay, so now we're going to start at the beginning over here. The Lachain Yeshli Zahir, it says in the Ramah, Lachain Yeshli Zahir Shalai Lizgar Tevok Tana or Listam Kalim Shezvuvim Bak, the Shabbos. Don't close that, even if you don't want them there. Like you have a box that has, I don't know, cheese in it. And you don't want the flies in there, but they're not going away. But you don't want more flies in there, so you close it. Right? But basically, what you've done is you've trapped the fly. So now, Yeshli Hizdar, which is an interesting lashon, doesn't mean so terrible, but it's Yeshli Hizdar. So now, let's look at a different case of that. Hinei Hataz, Chidesh Kan, Gavar Chadash. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah is not, is obviously very, very, Mechadash Dikin Hizdar, so he said, Chidesh Kan, Gavar Chadash. Okay? The Indian Sikh Resha. Vahu. Drum roll, please. The Kashain, the Hecha, the Misafkalon.
We lost you.
I'm sorry. We're in the
Mishnah Berurah.
I'm sorry.
In the Bir Halacha.
Okay, I went. I'm sorry. I skipped to the Bir Halacha. My bad.
Oh,
let's look at the. Let's please look at the Mishnah Berurah. It's right before where it says Dalad Yud Zayin. It says Dalad, the big Dalad, and a little Sifkat and Yud Zayin is Parson. So three lines up from that is V'ayin B'taz.
Okay.
So he says, "V'ayim etaz the shechriyah, the mikivon shefriach hazvuvin sheroa be'enav su ein sorech la'ayin lodatek ula yesham oyd ezazvuvin." Once I have this box, I'm going to close it, and there are flies in there, right? So I shoot fly. Okay, do I have to sit there and look at the box to make sure there's not a fly that I'm, God forbid, going to trap? In other words, if I close the box, what's going to happen? I'm going to trap the fly if there's a fly in there. But I'm not sure if there's a fly in there. Hence the case, Suffolk Psik Resha. If I close the box and there is a fly, that is a Psik Resha of Tzad. But I'm not sure if there's a fly in there. So now the Taz wants to know, in a case of Suffolk Psik Resha, if there's a fly in there, so then I'm going to be over on Tzad, but I don't know that it's there. So that's the case of some situation where if he's there, I'm over. If he's not there, I'm not, but I don't know. So what's the din? Am I allowed to close the box or not? Thank you for bringing me. What?
That's like somebody leaning on the wall and shutting off the light. If he doesn't even know he's doing the melacha, that's fantastic.
No.
If he has no idea that there's
a
bug inside.
No. He has reason to believe that there is that there are flies in there. Because if you look at the case, there are flies in the box.
He's talking about the case. But there were flies in there.
No, but.
I think that there might be another fly in there.
Because then, no.
Okay,
apparently, you don't know what kind of cheese is in that box. Right? They want to be. No, there's a legitimate. It's a probability thing. He has a legitimate reason to believe, whatever the case is, there's a legitimate reason to believe that they don't. You know, it's like a dorm counselor after making one round in the dorm, locked out, but all the lights are out. You know what I'm saying? He left that room and then went back on. Right? So you have to just know what the territory is about. Okay? So the ayin mitashe
kriyas mekiven sha b'friyach ha'zera. He also can very easily verify whether it's secret or not.
It's also hard because you can...
Why does he have to leave the thing open for more to come in? The rabbi said already, why do you have to leave the box open for more to come in? You have to sit there and sit there trying to figure it out.
You're right, maybe you say absolutely ruri b'kal, but it seems to be, I don't know, let's say we make it ants, okay? Is that better? Yeah, you have no idea for any. You can take every single thing out of the box and check to see if they crawled underneath. Okay? So now, you went once and you shooed them away. Whatever Zubin you saw with your own eyes, you do not see anymore. So you don't have to be Zubin. Why? Okay, so there's two parts. First of all, it's the subject situation. Second of all, it's only the rabbanon because ain't b'mina nitzad. The udaber she'ain b'mina nitzad ain't lahach rekol kach. Okay, so this is very soft, honestly, the way he's saying it's rabbanon and it's a suffix. You don't have to be machmer so much. Okay, so now let's see. Let's try to be a little more rigid when it comes to the svaras here. Let's look.
So in that situation, it would be a problem if you've got all of the flies in the bin and you don't want them flying around.
Right.
And if we're being machmir, then I would not be able to close that bin anymore, even though it's not something that I want. But I don't want them flying all around in the room.
If I prefer to have them out of the way by being in that bin, even though I might not eat the cheese. Right. If that's a gain for me. So that's
according to the tzad chumra here, tzad kula, it's a min that ain't on it. So when I open it up anyway, they're going to fly out. So I would be able to close the bin, according to the first set of what the Ramah is bringing.
But what's that? What case are you talking about? What case of Adar Abba, what he really wants to do is that say if there are, is it Safik or Avada?
Avada.
Avada, there are flies in there.
Yes.
So that's what we started over here. That's the case of Shulchan Aruch. L'chein neshizor, shalom let's go tevuk tano, or list them kalim. It says, "Wound by the Shabbos."
So,
the Mishnah will
be whether a bin is a tevek tano or not.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Bin, right? The garbage can.
Sorry, garbage can.
Yeah, sorry.
Rubbish bin.
Rubbish.
Right. Okay.
Come on, we're not down
with
the window.
Garbage.
Was it trousers that you're putting in the bin? What were you putting in the bin? Okay, fine.
In the Shulchan Aruch, didn't we just read that? It's a davar she'ino nitzosh.
Right, so it makes it only
there
above.
It's already a there above.
100%. That's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah says then. Exactly what he said.
Right. But he said the davar she'ino is kavanos.
No, so that we're just piling one on top of the net. Nisa only makes it the Rabbanah. And then you try and figure out if it's mutter. So if you have a davar she'ino miskaven even by the Raisa, but davar she'ino miskaven by the Rabbanah, right? And then you have segresha, though, that makes it worse. But it's like, that's exactly our subject. So now says the Bir Halacha. Hine atas chidush kan davar chadash beinyan psik reisha uhu v'kshei deheich of the misafkalon im ye'else ha'isr aloi. The same way when I'm not sure if the isr is going to be done, meaning that in the case of what's called classic davar shein miskavim. Okay, here maybe I should have waited for the crowd to jump. And maybe we even say that now before the Mishnah Berurah opens his mouth and says something. Can anyone tell me what is the existential issue with the whole idea of suffix segregation? Can anyone tell me, like, what sounds wrong with that?
Segregation
is by definition a vadai, and if there's some suffix element, doesn't that essentially take me back to what? That's what it does. Any type of suffix iteration that you have should take me back to the Tzad. But the Taz has a chop over here, because the suffix here is a different type of suffix. It's not a suffix of whether my action is capable and will actually carry out because of the effectiveness of the action that I'm taking. Is it effective enough to make this thing happen 100% or not? That's not the suffix. The suffix is there even a situation whereby it can be accomplished? The byproduct of segregation. Maybe there is no void to fill. Maybe there is no accomplishment to be accomplished in this case.
There's no segregation.
Right, but the point is, even when what the Taz is trying to say is that this is a different type of suffix. Meaning, even though normally when something is a suffix, it's called davar shein miskaven. But the Taz says in 1 second, there is room to say that when the action will for sure accomplish the byproduct, it will for sure be a psik resha, but there is a question as to whether the whole situation of the malacha exists. So then it's a different type of suffix.
It's earlier in the chain of the events.
Exactly. And therefore, there's nothing compromised about the fact that closing the lid is going to trap the fly. That's 100% going to happen. That's not what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at the action as maybe not being strong enough to accomplish trapping. What I am looking at is there anything to trap? And so therefore, even though in math it comes out the same, when halakhically it's not the same, because the suffix is in a different place. Okay? So this is Taz's introduction over here. So he says, the kashem, the second line, the heichad misafkalon, im ye'asa isra Allah, he says, Taz, even though that suffix, that svara exists, but the same way that when you're misupik, because you're not sure if it's effective enough, we're now on the second line of the Bir Halacha, of the, you know, the fourth line of the whole thing, or fifth line, the second line of where we started. Amrinon, we say, Davar She'en Meskavin Mutter L'Rab Shimon, G'ayim B'Greira Esmita Kisev Esafso, the Safik who Im Yo'asa Charetz Aydei Agreira, Kim Baikain says the Taz, don't be alarmed. Who Adin Heichad Mesafkalon, Im Yesh Isra B'Amaisa, Sha'isa. So says the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, if I had to distill what the Taz Svar is, I would say that the Taz is what's doing, in Hebrew we say, Rosh Bakir. The Taz says, I don't care. There's a suffix about whether this is going to cause a malacha. That brings you right back to Davar She'en Miskaven, and it's Mutter. As we all realize, it's a bit different. Because at the end of the day, this is going to for sure trap any flies. I just don't know if they're there. The Taz says, I don't care. As long as what I care about is that it's possible that this action is not going to cause a malacha. So Rav Shimon says, mutter. Think about it for a second. It makes a lot of sense. What does Rav Shimon care about? That I have kavanah to do a malacha. So over here, I know, I'm very well aware that in an actual practical effectiveness, I close the lid to the box, it's going to trap any fly there, 1,000,000%. But I'm also aware of the fact that maybe there are no flies in there. So that brings me back to that. It's Davar She'en Miskaven. Do you mean to trap the flies? I don't even know if there are flies there. However, we all do understand that this svara is in the stage that's being set. It's not really the same. So says the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, and he continues, V'hulei svara, without the Taz saying this. As far as the way we explained, that at the end of the day, Rav Yankel doesn't know whether he's trapping a zuvim, and he doesn't care. He's not mechaven, rather, and therefore it's mutter. Lulei dvarav hasvar lehepeh. The ima iser ye'asa bevadai al yedei hamaisa. So if the action, hainur an ila, closing this would be done bevadai, ach safeku im yesh kan iser, we just don't even know if there flies to trap. Hainu davar hanisoi, havaleis feika. It's a suffix d'araisa. Why? Because if I trap it, and it's a psikresha, so now it's usher. He's assuming it's d'araisa. That's maybe a shmooze that we allude to a couple times about what the din is by psikresha, according to Rav Shimon. Okay, v'sham bigrira, and don't tell me that. What do you mean? But we all know that when you're gerer the bench along across your yard, and you also don't know what's going to happen, then knocks it down, right? It makes a mutter. So it says the Mishnah Berurah, no. V'shem begerer shani. Let's look at the case, the classic case of Davar She'en Miskaven, where I schlep a piece of furniture across my yard, and the mirror make night create photos. There it's different. The misafkalon al davar acher. We have another type of suffix. That's what is the suffix. What is the suffix? Hainu hacharitz hanisvav al yidei pu'ulasai. There's nothing in the setup over here that's any different than any other case. There's ground, there's a heavy object, I'm just not sure if it all comes together to mean for sure there'll be a charitz. But that is really, I'm misupik whether my action is going to be, is capable of being successful at all. L'kach mutter, davar she'ein miskaven, de'efshe shelo ya'aseh ha'charitz. Masha ain came being a nenu, however, in our case, where there may be flies in the box, the suffix who ab etzem hani ila, im yesh baza maisa tzida. I'm not sure, b'chol, this is tzida. So, havi kisha'ar speka de oraisa. In other words, it's if I'm not sure if my schlepping the bench across the yard is capable of causing a charitz, so maybe I'm not even doing an action that can cause malacha. However, in this case, the action that I'm doing can for sure cause malacha.
Why do we say
that? What's that? For sure, malacha. The question is this case a case where is there a fly?
Am I doing it?
If there's no latest and stuff, like, if I have a trap and I close the trap, I have no reason to believe there's anything inside of there. So it doesn't even start. But when I know that there was movement in there, I'm not sure if they're all out. So says the Mishnah, even if I'm embracing the spot of the Taz, the Chayra, I come right back. So it's a suffix to Araisa. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah, I think, is a very, very key and precious definition. As we said, we're just not even sure about the whole case. But the Mishnah Berurah takes that to a very sharp turn and makes it very chomer. He says, 1 second, this is a classic case. I'm not sure if this is mutter, asr, maybe I'm actually being over listened to the rest. Now, obviously, take a step back. We're talking about Zvuvim, yeah. Right? He doesn't mean, the Mishnah Berurah does not mean to talk about Zvuvim. He's talking about Hilchas Psikresha. No, my hand up to you. All the what you call in Yiddish that room and that room. All the different considerations halachically. I don't want that. The Mishnah Berurah is now going for the jugular. He's saying, 1 second. Let's analyze the svara of the Taz on its own merit. Leave out the fact that the Zvuvim are not any need. Said it's only going to be the Rabbanon. That's not what I'm interested in. I want to evaluate the svara of the Taz. The Taz has a svara that when I'm not sure there are flies in here, so maybe that's not even considered a. The Taz says that when I have that the suffix, so it's just like it, even though there's a chilek, but it ends up being that I'm not sure, and it makes the mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah says no, but at the end of the day, I know everything that's going on over here. I know that there are flies in there. Let's assume that I wanted those flies, right? He's going a whole different case. Let's assume I wanted what was trapped in there, and I'm not sure if I were to close it, what would be the din? Suffix the rice on Shabbos, right? So he says that let's look at it like that. Now, of course, we have imminitza. We have the fact that it's a that it might not be full tzad and 100%. So now, umatzasi b'chidushi Rabbi Kiva Eger b'yoredeya sinim pezayin sevav da'agop shemetzade gamkein mitchila kisvara sein. So if you look at the Rabbi Kiva Eger, he says at the beginning of what he says my svara that when you have a case where I'm not sure what the circumstances are. And it might actually cause a malacha 100%, that maybe we don't start applying the davar she'ein miskaven, the regular type of sfeikus that make it mutter through Rav Shimon. We have to treat it as a suffix d'oraisa because of the fact that this malacha is valuable to me. Okay? I really didn't mean for this to happen. But these are the two tzadim. I want to hear everyone's schedule. I just feel like we can go on our merry way in this dear halacha, and I have a lot of things to say. But it's 10:45. That's its own story.
Is the rabbi going to apply with the chana to this?
That's already there. Who's probably could count every letter in Bir Halacha. So he said, he pointed to a person in the basement. This guy brought a raya to this side. So he's bringing raya to Mishnah Berurah to one side or the next on this question between Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Taz. So he said that Rabbi Belitsky, I think his name was. I wrote it over here. Yes. So he brought a raya from Rashba and Beit Zedek Lamed Vav, like one side. I was like, wow. Anyways, it says it right over here. So hopefully we have to share it.
Of course.
But what I want, let's go back to Rabbi Chanan. I guess we'll have to take a break at least.
I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, I know.
What did Rabbi Chanan say in his second sad? That obscuration makes it. That whatever I have in mind, this action is synonymous with the melacha. So l'chayra, if you say like that, sad, right? That's Tysus understanding. Here it comes. So in Tysus iteration, it comes l'chumra, because whether or not it's nichalei, whether or not it's nichalei, it's not going to help. Even if it's not nichalei, it's obscuration. But here I think that it's a massive kula. Here I think that for sure Rabbi Chanan is helping the Taz. Why? Because closing a box is not 100% causing flies to be trapped. Maybe I live on a continent where there are no flies. I live in Antarctica. There are no flies. So I'm allowed to close a box. There's no connection between the two. It's all a Metzius-based thing. If there happen to be flies over here, so then closing it makes it that I'm trapping the flies automatically. And you might even call it that. Can you trap the fly, please? Everyone knows you close it, right? There are flies in there. Please trap them. What do? You close the top of the box. As soon as it's not clear that there are any flies in the box, so l'chara, Rabbi Chanan's whole svara falls apart. In other words, what's if a psikoresha is that I'm redefining the action, and I'm saying that this actually is a malacha. If I don't know if there are any flies in the box, how can I call that a malacha? That's not a psikoresha. So the chayra, if we plug Rabbi Chanan in, we have to say, like the Taz. Now, I'm not sure if exactly this is the Taz of Svara.
That's the opposite.
Ah.
No, it has to do with his Kavana. If that's his Kavana, then he has to know that there are flies or not flies.
Right.
But if it's the Malacha itself, I don't know, I guess it would be a very big chumrah to say that every time you close a lid, anything that a lid, that closing a lid could do in any circumstance,
is caused
part of the Malacha.
Right. But the truth really is, I'm going to say this anyway. Let's look at the other side. What's that doing? Right? So the other side is that, not that the malacha gets redefined, but that al korchi, I have kavana. One second. But that's even worse. Why? Because if I'm not sure that there are any flies in here, So the fact that I know for sure something's going to happen, that makes it that I must be mechavim for it. And there's two iterations of that. There's the ritva, that I don't need to have ratzon, there's the ruchan on behalf of the aruch, that I do need to have ratzon. But if I don't even know from the get-go that there are any flies inside of here, so how is my kavana being tipped to for sure include tzad? So the truth is that I feel like this is a bit of a danger zone, and I feel like Rav Ari is right, and this happens numerous times in the Achrenu, where you could have what you call opposite tlius, or maybe you'd say it's not negeya. In other words, I, for a while, was trying to ponder, is this machlekes, just because they're two famous machleksin. So I figured, okay, let's try to make a shidduch, you know? Between the Tutsdam Rav Chanan and the Taz Rav Akiva Eger, so could we link the Tutsdam? I don't have clarity about it. Actually, it seems like both sides would seem to be makula. How do you create from here a robust psikresha? I don't know. But that's what Rav Akiva Eger seems to be mitzadid, that you do. But it could be like what Barry is saying. Okay, Yagdol Torah V'yadir. Let's remember our brothers and sisters that are not zeichet to come to the